so nice to hear you. I would love to hear all about Woody Harrelson's makeup, really, what the most challenging bits were to get them right.
Well, we spent about two or three sessions with the makeup artist who created the prosthetics, just trying different things and refining it until we got it to where we liked it. But we also wanted to make sure that it was not just enough to look like LBJ, but the makeup had to be pliable enough so Woody could use his face for expression. So that was a big challenge, and for Woody it was tough because he had to spend 2 hours every day in a makeup chair, and that was hard for him. And he also had to wear contact lenses because Woody has blue eyes and LBJ had brown eyes, so that was uncomfortable for him. But Woody, he was a trooper because he just spent the time in the chair, and he listened to tapes of LBJ to help him, get in the character. So he made the most of it, but it was a challenge. 2 days every day to put the makeup on, and then another hour to take it off.
I think my favorite were those little movable earlobes.
Yes, and we had a lot of source material to look at. We saw a lot of pictures of LBJ. We got those ears right, I think.
Yeah, that was the most telling part of his face were his ears.
Yeah.
And what about the locations? I don't imagine that you actually shot in the White House.
No, we didn't shoot in the White House. We did create the White House on the set, but we did shoot some exteriors in Washington, D.C., and we also shot in Dealey Plaza. For the to recreate the assassination, we shot that right in Dealey Plaza.
Really? So how did the people who live there now feel about you coming back and shooting those scenes?
Well, I had to get clearance from the mayor of Dallas, and he said you could only have 6 hours to shoot, so they didn't want to tie up traffic all day. So I very carefully planned that shoot. I had four cameras, and I figured out a way to have three passes of the motorcade, and so I wound up with 12 angles, and one of them was I dressed up a guy as Abraham Zapruder, and I put him exactly in the position Zapruder was, and I actually used some of the footage that he shot in the final film.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. But it's interesting because when we were there, there's always a lot of historians and, assassination buffs and all this, and they're always around that area. So they would say, the Umbrella Man didn't stand there. He was more over there, and the Babushka Lady was here. And so we had a lot of technical advisors on hand.
People that were actually there.
Well, they might not have been there on the day, but they've studied it. A lot of people have studied, obviously. It's the biggest murder mystery in the history of America.
I know, and I don't want to talk too much about JFK, but let's stay on topic because I know they just released all the files and all that jazz.
Well, but no, they didn't release all of them. They released
right.
Only some of them. The most sensitive ones, they held back.
Of course, yeah. I wasn't surprised to know that.
Yeah.
How did LBJ's family feel about Woody's portrayal? Did you hear from any of the living members?
This is the most interesting. Linda Bird and Lucy Bain saw the film. The first time we showed it was at the LBJ Library in Austin, Texas, and Lucy Baines was there. And I was so nervous.
I bet.
Because she was sitting there in the front row, and after the film was over, Woody and I go up on stage, and they're about to, do a Q&A with us. And I just said, before you ask us any questions, I just have to hear what Lucy Baines thinks of this film, because, I'm dying. And she stood up, and I don't know if you know her, but she's very, very petite. She's tiny and very formal, and she said, "The man I saw on the screen tonight was the man I knew."
Wow.
And I thought, oh, my God. I could have died right there. It was it was everything I had hoped. And then later I talked to her some more, and she said you also captured the relationship between my mother and father. That's the way they were with each other.
That's interesting. As I was going to go there, some of my favorite scenes was the pillow talk between Lady Bird and LBJ. So where did that come from? Did somebody research and know that they were close?
Particularly the second scene, that came out of, I'd read the Carol books, but I also read a book by Doris Kearns Goodman, who did a biography of Lyndon Johnson. She worked with Lyndon. She was in the Johnson White House, and she went down to his ranch in Texas after he left office, and she worked on the biography with him. And it was from that book that I got the scene where he has become president and he's frightened of not being loved like the Kennedys were loved, and that he doesn't know how to move forward, and he can't he feels like the public will never accept him. It was two things I read in the Doris Kearns Goodwin book that was the inspiration for that scene. One was he had this recurring dream. It was a nightmare where he felt he was paralyzed. And he had that over and over. And then the other was his relationship to his mother, and that's what we've tried to bring out in that scene, and that he felt that his mother at times didn't love him. It was a conditional kind of love. She withheld her love and only loved him when he was doing what she wanted him to do. So that's what we put in there when he says, he starts the scene by saying, do our daughters know that I love them? And what he's saying there is, I didn't always know when my mother loved me. And then later, Lady Bird says, your mother loved you. She just, didn't like to see you when you weren't at your best. And then he says, well, she wouldn't want to see me now. And we screened it in Boston, and Doris was there, and she was part of our Q&A in Boston, and she said, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it.
And I can imagine that scene must have touched Lucy Baines as well.
Yeah.
Those scenes.
Yes. And to me, it's the most important scene in the movie, because everybody knows about Lyndon Johnson as the bull in the china shop, kind of, larger than life guy who twists people's arms to get his way. But very few people know how insecure he was, and how at times he would get paralyzed and not be able to make decisions. Once he'd made a decision, then he was, pedal to the metal. But up until that point, and we see it earlier, even when he's debating about whether or not he should pull the trigger and run for president. So that paralysis would set in at times.
How do you think this film will resonate with younger audiences?
It's hard to say. Maybe they'll see it as a presidency and a government run the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
A lot of the young people only have the image of Donald Trump as being a president, and they can't imagine how an effective presidency might be run. Now, he also, escalated the war in Vietnam, and so it's kind of a tale of two presidencies. But this film is really about this guy's personality and about his ability to be effective on a domestic level.
Well, I think people of my age group are probably yearning for the last real president, watching this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine anybody not feeling that way after seeing this.
I would hope so, because I think it's what we all aspire to. I mean, it's one thing for me to make a movie like The American President, which is to create a fictional president and say, whoa, don't you wish your president was like this? Here was an actual president, and he was like that. So hopefully people will be inspired and say, this is hopeful, and we can actually have a government that functions. We saw, there was a guy who was a former foreign minister from Great Britain who saw the film and said he had renewed hope that, government can actually function.
Yeah, what do you tell your kids when they have questions about?
Well, I mean, my kids are, pretty, tuned in, because I'm so, hooked into, I'm like a news junkie and political junkie, and so they're around me all the time, and they're seeing stuff. So my daughter is only 19. She tweets these political cartoons on Twitter, and you know, so they're all hooked in. And my oldest son is a TV journalist in Houston. He's at the NBC affiliate in Houston, so they're all kind of tapped into what's going on.
Well, I hope this movie makes an impact on all generations, Rob. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Robin.
Okay, take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.